Amen. Let's give the Lord Jesus a big hand this morning. Hallelujah. I wanted to take a moment and just introduce to you, many of you have seen her around and wonder, I wonder if that's his secretary or who is she? But my beautiful wife, Joanne, would you just stand, sweetheart, and let everybody see how good looking you are? And I got one of my sons, Aaron, here. Stand up, Aaron. Let everybody look at you. And got Edie. Edie is part of our district. Her dad and mom pastor a church in Hawaii. Edie, stand up. Let everybody look at you. Some of you know Edie already. And we're just so thankful to be able to spend a little time with them as well. But Bishop asked me to share on ministry and encourage these new graduates in ministry. My word to you is run. Just kidding. I remember whenever I told my grandfather that I had felt led to be in ministry, felt called to ministry. I was 17 years old when I really surrendered. I was 8 years old when I felt God call me, and I preached my very first message in children's church at 8 years old. I had the wonderful privilege of my mom leading me to the Lord. When I was eight, I remember it very distinctly. We were sitting at the dinner table. I even remember we had spaghetti for supper that night. That wasn't very hard to remember. My mom only cooked about three meals, so we ate at my grandmama's house a lot. But as we finished our dinner, I remember my dad was called to work. He was a conductor on the railroad, and he was called to work and had to leave. And my mom set my brother and I down and led us to the Lord that night. It was on a Friday night. And I remember also the next morning, this next Saturday morning, I entered right into Christian persecution. 8 years old. I got up the next morning early, excited about giving my life to the Lord. I started walking down our very busy highway. We lived in the country and very busy highway there. And I started knocking on my neighbor's doors. Nobody had to tell me to do it. I just had to tell somebody. And I started knocking on doors and telling people, hey, I gave my life to the Lord last night. Do you know who Jesus is? I didn't really know how to tell them all the ins and outs about it, but I knew I wanted to tell. Well, I forgot to tell my mother where I was going, so she came looking for me. And when she found me, I got lickings all the way back to the house. So my first experience with Christian persecution. I was just trying to follow Jesus and do what was right. But, you know, when you know that you know, you can't be stopped. Amen? And I remember my teenage years were not, you know, not the most glamorous. And I remember giving my heart back to the Lord when I was 17 and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and getting the left foot of fellowship out of a Baptist church I grew up in. And so, you know, there's a price to pay to walk this way. Amen. But I'm reminded this morning of a scripture in the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 that tells us, Paul said, I am confident of this very thing. That the work that he has started, not just any old work, but the good work. Amen? The good work that he has started in you, he will perfect it. He will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And I want to just encourage you and all the ministers in here today that God's still not just working through you, he's still working on you. Amen? And I've not reached perfection at all in my life. If you need a list of things, my wife can give you a list of my imperfections. They won't be very interesting, I don't think. But we all have things in our life that we'll always walk through that God will be working out of us. And one of the things that I encourage each minister to look at very strongly is there will always be opportunities for you to quit. There will always be inward struggles that you go through. Just remember, he is still doing the work. Amen. My grandfather told me, he said, Greg, if there's any other thing that you can do in life, go do it. I didn't know how to take that. He was really trying to tell me, if you need to know that you know, that this is what God has called you to do, and in the process, there are going to be many opportunities to run the other way. Don't start this thing and quit. I've started a lot of things in my life, and I've had to do a lot of things in my life within ministry, and I've quit some things, but this is one thing I've never quit. Amen? There have been battles, there have been struggles, there have been attacks, there have been all kinds of things that we face in ministry, and we like to think that it's all, you know, just roses, and it's beautiful, and it's nice. No, ministry is dirty work. Y'all ever seen that show on TV, America's Dirtiest Jobs? The guy gets in the sewer sometimes. He works in all these. He needs to go shadow a pastor for a while. Why? Because things that we face in ministry are not always pretty. But they do give us opportunity to bring the goodness and the glory of God out of things that are not. Amen? Amen. One of the things that my grandfather told me as well, we have to remember who called us. You didn't call yourself. You didn't see a need and just say, hey, I want to do that. We knew in our heart there was a call of God to go and serve God in just a greater capacity than just being a believer. We were called to serve people in one of the fivefold ministry gifts. And as we do that, we carry a target on our back because the enemy is not going to like you. Why? Because you're not just serving God. You are equipping people to do stuff Jesus did. Right? You're not just waking up in the morning and putting your britches on and going to work and telling folks you love Jesus. You are actually equipping people to be a violent resistance against the camp of the enemy. And in doing so, the enemy hates you. The enemy wants to destroy you. But the scripture tells us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? The scripture talks about that folks fall, but the righteous get back up. Amen? We need to know that today, because when you make mistakes in your life, you're going to think you're unworthy. Well, you were unworthy before you ever got started. You just became worthy because of the blood of Jesus that was applied to your life. I want to encourage you, don't get entangled in religion. Because the enemy would like for you to think you a little bit more than what you are. Amen? In the book of Romans, Paul told them, he said, a man should not think more highly of himself than he ought to think. It didn't say not to think highly, but he said don't think more highly. You need to think highly. You need to know who you are. You need to understand that you are who you are only by God's grace. Only by God's grace. When I wake up in the morning and I start my process of my beauty process of shaving my head and my face, I get to look at this mug in the mirror for a little bit and I remind myself it's only by God's grace. My wife helps me with that too. But we have to understand that even when you are successful, it really has nothing to do with you. It's only by God's grace. Your education will help you make decisions, but the actually walking it out and the performing that we see in Philippians is only by God's grace. The Apostle Paul started most all of his letters that I, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace of God. We need to understand that grace is so important in our life. I want you to turn just to, again, to another scripture, just a few pages back in Ephesians chapter 4. And this is where many of you fall into is the fivefold ministry, either being an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. And we start this passage of scripture with some important words that we need to take heed to. See, a lot of people get excited about being called an apostle. But if you read actually what the scripture says about how apostles are going to be looked at and treated, you're going to want to be something else. Amen. You know, you talk about being a teacher. I'm going to be one that imparts wisdom and knowledge. Well, the teacher's held to a higher standard. Amen. You talk about being a pastor. So you understand that you got to be in it for the sheep, not for you. And sheep come with a lot of poo. They get a lot of burrs in their wool, and they're a lot. Sheep are a lot of work. You know, I told God one time, if you want me to pastor, can I be on the slaughtering end of shepherding instead of the caring end of shepherding? You know, you gotta know all the details that are in there. Amen. Because it's not about a title. If you're looking for a title, just keep on it. Stay in school and get you a doctorate and boast about it. You'll be okay with it, and other people wonder how you got it. But if you're looking for somebody to give you a title, if you've been operating out of a title, you've been operating out of a religious spirit. And a religious spirit is not going to promote the kingdom of God. It'll actually use you to rein back and hold back the kingdom of God where you feel that you're called to serve. You need to understand, I said it briefly on Friday night, that there's a difference than giving your life to the Lord. The Lord does not want you to give your life to Him. When you give your life to the Lord, you bring all your stuff and you say, God, this is what I got to offer you, and I want to use it to serve you. So, Lord, this is my plan, and I'm going to just serve you. I'm going to give you my life. God's not interested in you giving Him His life. He wants you to lose your life. He wants you to come to Him empty, undone, and without all of your gifts, out of all of your talents, out of all those things, and say, now, Lord, I'm going to lose all of that to serve you. What is it you want me to do? And He'll probably throw that scripture out. I'm about to take the foolish things of men and confound the wise. Right? Because God will put you in places that your education did not prepare you for. He'll put you in places that your raising did not prepare you for. Why? So that you would be solely dependent upon Him. If you look at Paul and Peter, you know, those two guys look like they were in the wrong place of ministry. Peter, a roughneck fisherman, you know, he looked like he belonged with the Gentiles, because those were rough folks anyway. They didn't know God. You know, it looked like he would belong with those. And Paul, a very educated man who had all the potential to be many things within the Jewish community. He looked like he would belong with the Jews, because that was his. He was educated. He fit in there. He knew how to do all the things that they did. But God said, no, I'm going to put Paul with the Gentiles and Peter with the Jews. Amen. Don't look for things that fit you. Be willing to ask God, where do you want to spend me? And when you're done, be spent up. Don't leave nothing on the field. Amen? And when we go by the grace of God. We go by the grace of God. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul is actually writing here about the fivefold ministry gifts. And he says here, but to each one of us, grace was given. Look what it says. According to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. See, there are going to be times in your life that you're going to walk in different measures of your gifting. But what you walk in today, you're going to increase in measure, because as you're faithful with little, God, He's going to give you more. Amen? And we need to understand that we need to operate in our sphere that God's given us, in the boundaries. Paul said, we don't build on another man's foundation. We stay in the boundaries that God has given us. And we need to know our boundaries. And one of the things that, you know, is dangerous in ministry, when you start seeing a little bit of success, you begin to think that you're called to be the apostle to the world. And there's only one of those. That's Jesus. Amen. You're needed, and your gift and your calling has a measure to it, and that measure will increase or decrease according to our faithfulness. And he said to the grace, I love the word grace. You know, growing up, I grew up in Mississippi, in northeast Mississippi, and sometimes it takes more than one word to explain a word to us. And I just need definitions. Folks in Hawaii, you know, I have to give them my redneck definitions. And sometimes it blesses them, and then sometimes they just stare at me, and they look like, what? But I, you know, growing up, I heard grace is God's unmerited favor. Sounds good, but what the heck does that mean? Unmerited favor, it's got a really religious, holy sound to it, but I need some meat. Amen. And I begin to ask God, Lord, what does it mean? He said, my grace is my ability to do in you what you can't do in yourself. And that helped me. Because there's every day I wake up, I need God's grace in my life. Because the things he's called me to, I don't have the ability to do it. Things I need to even run from, sometimes I ain't got the grace to do it. Sometimes things I need to face, I don't have the grace to do it. You need God's grace. You need to understand God's grace. God's grace is his ability to do in you what you cannot do in yourself. And Paul said that God had given us a grace. This grace is powerful. I read Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 the other night. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture. And it tells us those that receive the gift or the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will in this life reign. You have a sphere of authority that God has released in your life. And I know you fight battles, but you're not fighting them without authority. I know you got enemies, but you're not facing them without a greater authority than what that enemy has. You have a grace, a power, an ability to stand in the midst of the place, the measure that God has given you, and exercise a kingly anointing, an ambassador's anointing, to see the kingdom of God advance where he has called you to serve. We need to remember that. It's hard sometimes. We forget why. Because we think we have to do. No, Jesus said, great works have I done, but greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. You've got to remember your helper, your teacher, your comforter, the Holy Ghost is with you. Amen? He is with you. He's your guide. The Bible says those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We cannot afford to think of ourselves less than what we are, and we cannot afford to think of ourselves more than what we are. Can you say amen? Now let me just real briefly hit a few things here out of Ephesians. If you just put your finger in Ephesians real quick and go over to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 18, it says, you have ascended on high. You've led captive your captives. You have received gifts among men, even among the rebellious also, that the Lord may dwell there. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens or loads us with benefits, the God who is our salvation. In this passage of Scripture, it's drawing us a picture of two kings warring against one another. And the winning king going in and taking the spoil from the one that he defeated and bringing that spoil back into his treasury. And those were gifts. In those days, a lot of times, men were taken from different kingdoms and brought back into other kingdoms as slaves or servants. Paul relates us to that. Amen? But understand, you're not a slave to God. You're not a servant in that aspect. You are sons and daughters who serve. And when you know your sons and daughters who serve, it's different from someone who has a slave mentality serving or an orphan's mentality serving. Amen. One who has an orphan's mentality or a slave's mentality and they're serving, they serve because they're made to. But when you are a son or a daughter who serves, you understand that you're partnering with your father to expand the family business. Hallelujah. And the family business of our daddy just happens to be a kingdom. Praise God. And we are expanding his kingdom together. And as we do that, we are building an inheritance for ourselves and we're bringing glory to his name. So how we serve makes a big difference. We don't serve. You don't approach. I'm just a servant of God. No. You're a son or a daughter who serves. Your purpose for serving is different. You don't serve because you have to. You serve because you get to. Amen. And in your getting to, you're expanding our Father's kingdom. A slave works to expand for other reasons. A slave's always looking to escape. Am I right? A lot of the church today, we just looking to escape. Come quickly, Lord, get me out of this wretched old world. Come on, y'all smile at me. Y'all just shift. I felt the shift in the room. Amen. Lord, come, get me out of this wretched world. No, Jesus tells us, the Father tells us in his word, that we're to serve and make a difference in this world, that the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our God. Can you say amen? Amen. We need to understand how we serve makes a difference. You have ascended on high. You've led captive your captives. He took the captive of the enemy and made it his captive. And he says, you receive gifts among men, even among the rebellious. Thank God for that. That the Lord may dwell there. The purpose of him taking these gifts was that God may dwell there. Go back to Ephesians 4 real quick. Ephesians chapter 4. If we begin to read verse 7 again. But each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captive captive. He gave gifts to men. Now, the expression that he ascended was, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. Then he says, and he gave. Now, you could come right out of verse 7 and go right back into verse 11. And you look at the gifts of Christ and it says, and he gave. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith. Of the knowledge of the Son of God. Wow. Isn't that powerful? To a mature man. Everybody say mature man. We got a bunch of pacifier sucking folks in our churches, don't we? Not in Oklahoma, only in Hawaii. Praise God. You know why that is? Because ministers have built ministry around themselves instead of around the empowerment of people to do what God has called them to do. Glory to God. A mature man. Look what it says. Look what this next one says. This will blow some theology out of the water. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Isn't that amazing? As a result, we're no longer children, tossed here and there by every wave and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body is being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causing the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. One of the things I want you to understand that the gifts of Christ here, sometimes they're called the ascension gifts because they were given at his ascension. They're different than the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all of you have Holy Spirit who has all of those nine gifts. And all of those nine gifts can operate through you as Holy Spirit desires to do that. You've got to be willing to submit and let him do it. Amen? But the gifts of Christ are different. Paul instructs us throughout his letters, and we see it in Psalms as well, that the people themselves are the gift. So the fivefold ministry is not a gift that you get. The person themselves is that gift. You are not called to ministry. You were born to ministry. God said to Jeremiah, I knew you in your mother's womb. I called you a prophet in your mother's womb. We know that we're born to this. This is something that we are born to do. People say, I surrender to the call of God. I felt the call of God on my life. No, you just recognized who you were and submitted. Amen. God didn't call you up and say, hey, I'd like for you to go pastor a church. No, you can't do that in your normal mind. You got to be crazy. Literally, a little bit off. No, I'm kidding. Kind of. But you're called, you know, that pulls out of you, right? See, the person themselves is the gift. Now, it represents, well, the gifts of God here of Christ, they represent the victory of the risen Christ. Psalms tells us that that is taken out of one person's treasury and put in another. It represents a victory. You and I, whenever we understand that we're called to be fivefold ministers, we don't operate from the perspective of struggle and defeat. We operate from the perspective of the victory of a risen Christ. Everything you face in your life, you should face it with some tenacity from the victory of a risen Christ. Not what am I going to do? How am I going to make it through this? God, what are you going to do? God, help me, God. No, from the victory of a risen Christ. These are Christ's gifts. They're given to do certain things. They're given to equip the believers for ministry. There's a lot of places, again, not Oklahoma, I know that, probably just Hawaii, maybe Alaska, but it's the preacher's duty to do everything. I heard somebody tell a pastor one time, the pastor said, guys, the yard's getting really high. We need to get some men together to cut it. One of the elders said, that's what we hired you for. Now, y'all know that wasn't me, right? Because I ain't in jail yet. Amen. But that's not the pastor's responsibility. Come on. It doesn't mean that you're not to get your hands dirty. You are. Amen. There are things that you do. But we're to equip people to do the works of ministry. We're to empower them to do the things that Jesus did. Not to have them dependent on the man in the pulpit or the woman in the pulpit, but they can go out and do the work of the ministry. Right. Amen. To build up the body of Christ, to edify the body of Christ, to bring unity in the body of Christ, to bring the church into a place to where they know the Son of God. That they don't have an idea about Him, they know Him. Amen? And to bring them into a place of maturity and to bring them into a place to where they measure up to the fullness of Christ. Wow, you know, it's really hard to teach folks unless you've been there. Amen. There are some folks can just say, okay, walk in a classroom, okay, we're going to open a book, we're going to work through this together, praise God, and we're going to teach you this. No, that's not how it works in ministry. We're people that have been there, and we know how to do it because of experience. Not all of it's going to be experience. God is going to be in places, He's going to give you supernatural wisdom. Knowledge and understanding of how things need to be spoken. That's why it's important that we move in the power of Holy Spirit. Amen. And you don't always need a jerk and a shake and a run to do it. Amen. Amen. Those are good. I like them. Mississippi, you know, we'd walk the pews and ride the ceiling fans. Praise God. Didn't make it, but you don't always have that. There are times that you need, God, I need wisdom, and God to give it. You can speak it and change and be broken off of people's life. You can bring them to the measure, to measure up to the to Christ's fullness. These five gifts are given to solve certain problems, not create them. Amen. They're given to solve the problem of immaturity. It says we're no longer infants, we're no longer children, we're to solve that problem. They're to solve the problem of ignorance. The scripture says here in Ephesians, they'll no longer be tossed to and fro, back and forth, right? We're also given to solve the problem of deception. And the scripture says that we pull them out from deceitful schemings of men. We need to come to a place that we're not afraid. That the pulpit that God gives us is the most powerful position in our community, not just to minister to those on Sundays, but to be able to speak life into our communities. Are you with me? They were given to promote growth, and they were given to promote love, not to promote us. Selah. Right? Am I right? Amen. We forget that sometimes. Again, not here. I know other places. We forget that. When ministry gets to the place that we need the approval of men, then we're operating out of the wrong heart. Because if you're pastor and you're not always got the approval, you got werewolves looking at you on Sunday morning, and you'd better pray in tongues a few times before you get up there and bring the word of the Lord, because some folks are not always going to be happy with what you do. And if they are, then you're probably not doing the right things. Amen. Be bold. Be confident. Be strong. Be sure. Be steadfast. Knowing that God, He's called you. He's equipped you. He's got your back. Can you say amen? They're given to promote growth and to promote love. I guess we could say that the meaning of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through verse 15, or 7 through 15, 16, rather, it would be ministry gifts equipping members to minister. You need a team because you can't change your community on your own. If preachers, pastors, apostles, prophets, whatever they may be, could change a community on their own, America would already be saved. Amen. We need these other people that God brings to us. We must equip them. They are going to be your greatest cheerleaders. They're going to be your greatest support team. They're going to be your greatest army to march out and to conquer the community in a way that culture actually changes. I don't believe, and this is my opinion, this is probably more from an apostolic viewpoint than a pastoral viewpoint, because there's a big difference. I don't believe churches are supposed to be hospitals. I don't believe they're supposed to be welfare lines. I don't believe they're supposed to be places where folks come get their fix every Sunday morning so they can make it through another week. But that's what a lot of churches in America have turned into. And what I believe that God wants us to do is to re-examine, to allow Him to come in and to prune what needs to be pruned. Allow Him to come in and make Sunday mornings a place where we get our marching orders for the week, where we hear words that would be prophetic to us and they sit in our spirit and confirm to us what we're supposed to do next week. And as we go out and we meet those people that we know we're supposed to meet, we're changing lives. Amen. We're not just holding on and trying to make it. We're actually overtaking. So this morning, I want to charge you guys. I want to encourage you, those of you that are going to be pastoring, those of you that may be going to the mission field, those of you that may be helping do church plants, know that God has called you. Know your source and know that you're a gift. Amen? And let the grace of God be what stays in front of you to keep you in a reality check to know that you're not doing what you do on your own. You're doing it because He called you, He chose you, and He graced you to do it. God bless you. Amen.